Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, text, chapter number 24, text 23 and 24. Hare Krishna. Can we have some more volume on this mic? Anyone?
Hare Krishna.
Can you turn the mic up some? So I don't have to speak right now. No. Can you give more volume? Otherwise, I'll have to speak like this. Omagyanantananda shayagyan salakaya chakshur mitam mitashmai sri gurudevaya namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutade Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamine Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shandavari Pashtati Satam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The texts are in long prose, so I won't read the Sanskrit text. Don't mind. Text 23. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead could see no other means of taking everything away from Bali Maharaj, he adopted the trick of begging from him and took away all the three worlds. Thus, only his body was left. But the Lord was still not satisfied. He arrested Bali Maharaj, bound him with the ropes of Aruna, and threw him in a cave in a mountain. Nevertheless, although all his property was taken and he was thrown into a cave, Bali Maharaj was such a great devotee that he spoke as follows. Text 24. Alas, how pitiable for it is for Indra, the king of heaven, that although he is very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent because he did not properly instruct his disciple Indra. Lord Vamadeva was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, engaged him in asking me for alms to gain the three worlds for his sense gratification. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj was so powerful that he fought with Indra and took possession of the three worlds. Indra was certainly very advanced in knowledge, but instead of asking Vamadeva for engagement in his service, he used the Lord to beg for material possessions that will be finished at the end of one age of Manu. An age of Manu, which is the duration of Manu's life, is calculated to last 72 yugas. One yuga consists of 4,300,000 years, and therefore the duration of Manu's life is 309,600,000 years. The demigods possess their material opulence only until the end of the life of Manu. Time is insurmountable. The time one is allotted, even if it be millions of years, is quickly gone. The demigods own their material possessions only within the limits of time. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented that although Indra was very learned, he did not know how to use his intelligence properly. For instead of asking Vamanadeva to allow him to engage in his service, Indra used him to beg Bali Maharaj for material wealth. Although Indra was learned, and his prime minister, Brihaspati, was also learned, neither of them begged to be able to render loving service to Lord Vamanadeva. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented for Indra. Here's one of those very, very rare cases where a demon, Krishna says there's two classes of people here in this world, the devas and the asuras. The devas are favorable to executing the program of the Lord, and the asuras are indifferent to the Lord's program. They want to manage it their own way. That is why the deva's position is to manage. But we see in rare instances, although coming from the race of the demons, asuras, some of them become very great devotees. So Bali is one such case. And by this act of surrendering to Vamandev, he became one of the Mahajans, like his grandfather, Balhad, also from the race of demons. So this chapter is very instructive, and as much as given us a very clear understanding of our littleness, of our insignificance in the material world, the insignificance of the material world itself. The significance of the material world is just sense gratification. That's what it's for, to act independently of the Lord. But there is even within this illusory energy, because Maya's business is simply to absorb the living entity's consciousness, distract the living entity from surrendering to Krishna. That is the whole purpose of the illusory energy. And therefore, to keep this knowledge alive, therefore the Lord reveals himself, as he does here in avatars, through the scripture, through his devotees, and gives very, very pertinent instructions, both by directly speaking, or his devotees are speaking, or by his example. And by hearing these narrations, hearing this truth, this spiritual knowledge, which is coming in a very palatable way in the Puranas, it's coming in story form so that we can easily digest it and enjoy hearing it also, and at the same time we get the essence of the those scriptures which give the bare essentials of life, just a pure philosophy. So this is invented from the Srimad Bhagavatam just after the appearance of Krishna, disappearance of Krishna, and the onset of Kali Yuga. So this is a narration of a story that happened many millions of years ago, that Baliraj, he was elected king of the demons, and they fought the demigods after the churning of the ocean, which you read that chapter. So they're always an enmity, those two, the devas and the asuras. They'll always be there in this world, those two types of classes of people. So the devas, they upset the spiritual master somehow or other through neglect, through pride. Bali Raj is a grandson of Hiranyakashipu. He became, during a battle, when the devas beat the demons and they killed them, many of them, they killed all the leaders, including Bali, or he's almost lost his life. And they took the demons, and Sukacharya, he brought them back to life. He knew this Sanjeevani mantra, and he brought them back to life. So Bali was very grateful and worshipped Sukacharya. And served all these associates, the Brahmins that come in the dynasty of Bhrigu. And because he worshipped them very, very nicely, they were very favorable towards him, so they invested in their Brahmana Tejas, their Shakti. And the Brahmanas are the most powerful person, so they don't show their power because that's the business of the Kshatriyas. So they invested much power into Bali. And he attacked the demigods and defeated them. And they all ran away. They went to Lord Vishnu, as usual, and said, "We have a problem, please help us." And he said, "No, time is not right. Bali, they're worshipping me better than you are. They're very conscientious. So what can I do? Time is not right. So you go away for some time, and I will help you. I will adjust. Even though they're worshipping me better than you, I will do something to help you." Because he wants the devas to run the place because they follow the program, how the Lord wants it to run the universe. So that Bali was occupying the position of Indra, throne of Indra. And so he said, "Well, because he can't be defeated in battle, so I will trick him." So then he appeared as Vamandev. And he appeared they was having a big sacrifice somewhere, and Vamandev showed up there. Beautiful boy, effulgent, charming. He said that of the three most beautiful incarnations of the Lord, he is one of those, Vamandev. And walks in with his deer skin, dressed in a deer skin, and his kamandalu and a danda, fulgent dreadlocks, beautiful forehead, and everyone stops and who's this coming? It must be the Suryadev himself, maybe Sanat Kumar is coming, and everyone stands up out of great respect because he's like the moon entering among the stars. And then they all worship him, bow down and offer their obeisances to him. And Bali especially, because he's very pious, he's in association with all these brahmanas, he's going through this period of performing a sacrifice where they have to be especially pure and clean and everything. And he's very ecstatic to see Vamandev. He becomes very excited. Vamandev is so attractive. And Bali worships Vamandev, gives him a seat, washes his feet, puts the water on his head, and glorifies him with wonderful prayers, which is we find it a lot in the Bhagavatam, even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. The prayers are similar. It's our great fortune that such a great sage has entered here. You look like the personification of the of austerities. You have so much potency. All good qualities are there. They can see in Brahmadev, shining brightly, very peaceful, very beautiful, and very charming, because he's just like a young boy, harmless, no fear with young children. This is the way the Lord acts, very trickily sometimes. So he said, "By certainly my whole dynasty has been purified by your presence here. The meaning of all my activities, pious activities, has borne fruit today. This yagya has become successful just by your being here. That means whatever we was going for, this is the actual success. It's confirmed that you're in the presence here. So you please, it appears you have come to ask me for something. So please, ask me for whatever you like. You can have, what is it you want? I can give you a cow, I can give you gold, I can give you a young Brahmin girl to marry. I can give you an island. I can give you anything. I'm the controller of the three worlds. Please, ask me for anything." And Bali began to, Vamadev then he began to glorify Baliraj. "Oh great king, you're such a pious and noble soul, and you're coming from such a great dynasty, very noble dynasty. No one in your dynasty has ever refused to give charity to anyone. And no one has ever been born in your dynasty who was so low to take back that was once offered in charity to a brahmana. Your own father, he also, even the demigods came in disguise as brahmanas, and he knew it, that they was my enemies. Still he gave them the request. Such a noble soul, no one would refuse. Your predecessors, your dynasty, Hiranyaksha, very powerful. When he wandered all around the universe alone with his club, challenging everyone, nobody could stand up to him. Very powerful. Such wonderful lineage you come from. Even when Lord Vishnu took the form of Varahadev, he was put to task to have. He had a good fight. It wasn't easy for him. And after he killed him, the Lord was thinking. After he killed him, I feel very victorious. I feel very triumphant that, you know, I beat this Hiranyaksha. He wasn't the only person. He was so powerful. He felt quite pleased and happy that he had actually beaten him. Because it wasn't an easy task. That's how powerful he was. And then his younger brother, Hiranyakashipu, he was so angry at Vishnu. And he went search for Vishnu. And he went to the abode of Vishnu. Wanted to take revenge for his brother. Vishnu again was put to task. He said, "This Hiranyakashipu, wherever I go, he will follow me, just like time. There's no escaping from him, such a powerful person." He said, "There's only one place he can't find me. He's not very, because he's a little materialistic. He doesn't have much internal vision. So I'll hide inside his heart." So he entered into the body of Hiranyakashipu. So he said he'll never find me here, because he's not that kind of person. But your father never forgot, gave up his anger, his whole life. You know? And he searched everywhere, all over the countryside and the mountains and the caves and the oceans, roaring, "Where is that Vishnu? Fearless. Such a great person." Then he presumed he must be dead, otherwise he would come out and accept my challenge. "And what to speak of your grandfather, Prahlad? He's a moon in your dynasty. Such a great personality." And what you have spoken yourself proves that you also, you're coming in this great lineage. Everything you spoke is very much according to the religious principles. I'm very pleased. So I come to you because I know that you come from such a noble family. And I'm asking, what I'm asking for is 3 paces of land only, of which I can take. So then Bali said, he said, you speak like a learned sage. So what you say is so nice, very nice. According to scripture, everything you're saying is you're a very learned person. But because you're a child, your intelligence is not really developed. Because you're asking me for 3 paces of land. I'm the emperor. I'm running the whole 3 planetary systems. I can give you an island, one of the dweebs. If you come to a person like me, you should go away, never to ever to want anything again, to ask anyone else again for anything. This is what, you're coming to me, I'm Bali. Whatever you want, take it. And Vamadeva said, well, if I wasn't satisfied with 3 paces of land, then I wouldn't be satisfied with an island. A person who is not self-satisfied, he'll never be satisfied. Even if he has a whole 3 worlds, he will still won't be satisfied. And we have history of different kings in the history, Pitu and others who were conquered the whole kingdom, but still they weren't satisfied. The person who has not controlled his senses can't be satisfied with any amount of material facility. He'll always want more. So that's the nature of the Maya. He's like that. If you don't, Krishna says that. But the Kamesha Kodesha, that this lust, Krishna says, it's the all devouring sinful enemy of the world, and it covers the consciousness of the living entity, and it is never satisfied. Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's never satisfied. Lust. That's our experience also. We've never been completely satisfied. No. Satisfy your material desires, it doesn't last long. Then you have, again, new desires come up. More bigger desires, if you... So it doesn't really work. So you're saying that even you have the whole 3 worlds, if you haven't controlled your senses, the mind, then there's no point. So I get satisfied with this. So Bali said, okay, whatever you want, you take. And then he got his water pot to sanction the deal. Like sometimes they shake hands, and in Vedic times they pour water on it to clinch the deal. Sukacharya, he's the guru of the Asuras. And he said, Bali, don't do it. Stop. Don't do it. He said, this person's a fraud. He knew how powerful Sukha was. He knew he could see into the future. He said, this person's Vishnu. He's coming in disguise to cheat you. He said, you give him, you retract that promise. He said, I can't. How can I have given him a promise? No. According to the Shruti, he said, every vow has to be start with the word Om. If Om is not chanted, then you didn't chant Om, you can stop. And the Vedas, the scriptures never sanction an act of charity that will put your life at stake, your religious duties of giving charity, give it and to help others, and to work for fruitive activities. You shouldn't give yourself in such a position that you won't be able to do these things. So that's against the religious duty. You've got to be able to do these things. So, you know, the body and your position is important. He'll take away everything from you. If you have nothing, what can you do? You can't even act religiously. Don't do it. He'll take everything. Believe me. And not only that, he'll take everything in two steps. And then, where will he place his third step? He won't have a place. That means you've broken your promise. And then he'll punish you for that. You didn't. Then he'll send you to hell. Don't do it. Mark my words. I'm your guru. So then Bali thought for a while. And so he's contemplating all the pros and cons. But then he reasoned that, well, even if he is Vishnu, we have been taught, your teaching also, that Vishnu is actually the Supreme Lord. He's actually the benefactor of everyone. The ultimate goal is to attain his favor. Even if he is Vishnu, then so what's the problem? If I give him, even if he takes everything, even if he does, he wouldn't do that, because he's not so low-minded. He's a noble person, Vishnu. He wouldn't cheat like that. He's Vishnu. Even if he did, then what is the harm? He'll take everything, which is due course of time anyway, will be taken away at time of death. So what is the harm? And then I get that great benefit. This is what we're supposed to be doing. I already promised him. How can I? I mean, coming in the line of Prahlad and my ancestors, everyone will be disappointed with me. When you die, the only thing that's worthwhile, what's left, is your reputation. So actually, reputation is the most important thing. Everything else is taken away. So I can't. I won't do it. I'll fulfill my promise. Sukha became very angry. I'm your guru and you're disobeying me. For this, you'd have to go to hell. You know that. Hare Krishna. Jai Guru. Then he gave the water, washed the feet of the Lord, and then the Lord smiled, and then began to expand himself. And that right there, everyone saw it, the whole Visharup, universal form. They saw the different elements of the material universe and his body, as it from the lower planets to the higher planets, as he expanded, coming onto different parts of his body. And they could see the subtle energies like time and the modes of nature and karma and things like that. They could see everything going on in that gigantic body. So then he stepped right up to the heavenly planets. Then the next step, he stepped right to the higher planets, up through Brahmaloka. Which the residents of Brahmaloka and Lord Brahma were very happy. They could worship the Lord's feet there. And it touched the covering of the universe. So then the Lord says, okay, there's two steps. Where am I going to put the next one? No more space. Run out of space. And Bali said, no, I can't. I will remain truthful. There's one place remaining, that is my head. You please put your foot on my head. I surrender to you. And then Brahmadev said, you know, then you, because she couldn't keep your promise to a Brahmana, you'll have to go to hell. And also, I have to fulfill the order of the curse of your guru. He said you're going to go to hell for disobeying. You'll have to go to hell. So he bound him up. with ropes. But Bali wasn't fazed. Bali actually he's surrendered. That's why he's Mahajan. He's the Acharya of Atmanivedanam. Complete surrender to Krishna. He actually surrendered his mind. And he was prepared for anything. That means when you surrender, surrendering your mind is the most difficult thing to do. Now we can surrender our activities, we can surrender our words and our, possessions. But it's difficult to actually surrender the mind, as we have just said. Difficult to give up desires of the future, of any future, well-being. Self-interest is very difficult to do that. But Bali was prepared. He thought about it before he made his decision. He was prepared. He thought, I'm going to surrender. And he surrendered. And he surrendered completely. So he wasn't fazed. And then his father came. Bali's grandfather came, Prahlad, Fulgent, wait. And offered very wonderful prayers to the Lord Vamandev. So we're getting so many instructions through these different personalities that are speaking by the incidents. Long prayer, and he was saying essentially how it's for our, your Lord, you're so kind to us Asuras, because we get opulence by your mercy. But when we get that opulence, we become neglectful of you, we forget you, we start to enjoy the opulence, and we become proud of our position and proud of our wealth, proud of our power, and then we forget you. So it's very nice, you very kindly come and remove all those things just to wake us up again and put us in our position that, we're actually dependent on you. This is your kindness. Many prayers. Lord Brahma also came, offered nice prayers. It's the same effect. Bali's wife offered nice prayers. That he thinks he's thinking he's a big controller and enjoyer. Time gave him, you gave him this position in course of time, and now by your own time factor, you're taking that position away and brought him back to his senses. So there's so many nice instructions. And so then all the demigods come in there, worshipping and praising Bali. After Bali made that gesture, all the demigods were showering flowers. Such a difficult thing to do, he's done. He's a leader of the, so a powerful person. But he gave everything, even though he gave everything to his enemy, not exactly enemy, but he gave everything to Vishnu, because he knew, even though he knew Vishnu was going to give his kingdom back to Indra, who Indra was the enemy. Even though he knew that, he was steadfast in his vows. The demigods were all showering flowers on him. But still he has to go to hell. So the Lord says, you go to hell, you go to Sutala. This story came up in the middle of the subterranean heavenly planets, this story. He resides there, and he said, you go down there and reside for some time. He said, then after some time, you'll take over the post of Indra. And Bali was so choked up with love for Vamandev, he said, I'm such an insignificant demon. And you're going to award me such great benedictions. Of course, not only, I mean, he's going to make him the next Indra. They were shifting round in time. But he was very moved by the causeless mercy that the Lord had shown him. And already he was actually transcendental, as we hear from these particular shlokas, how he was criticizing Lord Brahma. That when the Lord appeared before them, instead of asking them for pure devotional service or going back to Godhead, they said, go please, Bali has stolen our position, he's stolen our wealth, he's stolen our power, please go and get it back and give it back to us. They asked him, he asked for that, something insignificant, which is going to go in due course of time anyway. They could have asked to go back to Godhead. Similar story when in the battle between Vritrasura and Indra. Vritrasura, he was an asura, but he is also a pure devotee. He gave the same criticism to Indra. He said, "You're such a fool. You go to Vishnu. Vishnu appears and says, 'How can I help you?' And instead of asking for pure devotion or take me back to Godhead, you say, 'Give me a weapon that I can kill this demon, Vritrasura.' What a fool. What kind of fool are you? You have a perfect opportunity. You're seeing the Lord face to face. And you're after some material thing." Indra became very ashamed. But like that, but that's the nature of power and position and wealth. I'm doing okay. It really fortifies the false ego, which false ego tells us you are, you know, perfect, powerful, happy, and you've made it, you've become successful. Then you actually start to believe it like that. Even we believe it on our very small level. What to speak of these, you know, huge controllers. So he said, anyway, you go to Sutala. He said, but you'll be very happy there. You go to hell, but this place, you're going to Sutala, you'll be very happy. You can go, all your relatives will be with you there. And I will personally come with my chakra. You will have no fear from anyone. Nobody will be able to attack you. I'll be there as your doorman, Chokidar. The Lord is so kind, you see. You can see me whenever you want. I'm always there. That is the nature of the Lord. If you completely surrender to Him, He completely surrenders to you. So Bali had completely surrendered, actually given, surrendered his mind to Krishna. Then Krishna surrendered, became a dharma, Chokidar. Chokidars are not significant, right? They just get guard. But he's there protecting the planet, and so Bali can see him at any time. So that's how wonderful the Lord's personality is, when he displays his kindness. So though initially it appeared like, you know, Bali is a loser, he owns everything, practically the whole three worlds, and now he's going to lose everything. Not only that, he has to go to hell. It all seems, you know, really bad. But because he actually did it, he's never the loser. So what did he get? He got that place which is better than the heavenly planets, Bulvaswaga. Fantastic there. No old age, wrinkles, disease, no fear. The Lord is personally there. And he told also his grandfather, Prahlad, you also go with him. You go together, you can live there also. Nice place. So though it looked bad, you know, you're going to lose everything, you're going to go to hell. But he gained everything. And then after that, enjoying for thousands and thousands of years, then he becomes Indra. And enjoys for thousands and thousands of years again, if you don't go back to Godhead. So this is the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. That we learned how to surrender completely. Bali surrendered everything. Atmanivedana. He became a Mahajan, although he is from the Asura race. So it means anyone can actually do it. Anyone can actually surrender to the Lord. Just need their faith and determination to do it. And of course, the Lord's mercy. So in this way, while we're exploring the subterranean heavenly planets, then we're hearing some of the history of these planets, how the Lord Himself resides there in Sutala as the doorman of Baliraj. and what a great devotee Bali is. But still, he's not considered a pure unalloyed devotee, although he surrendered everything to Krishna. At that particular time, he's considered a pure unalloyed devotee, but still, he's made to stay for a long time because his nature was to be a controller, be an enjoyer. So he got facility, just like Dhruva Raj, same thing. Dhruva Raj, when he saw the Lord, he actually became a pure devotee. Within 6 months, he actually surrendered to the Lord, and he actually was on the stage of Bhava. He could actually perceive the Lord in the heart. Then the Lord appeared before him directly, spoke with him, and said, I'm very pleased with your devotion. I come to fulfill your desire. He said, what desire? I don't have any desires. Now I've seen you, I don't want anything. No, you know why what you set out to do. You had a program to achieve something. I come to give it to you. No, I don't want it. No, you have to have it. That's what I came for, to give it. So then he cursed himself. What a fool, what a jerk. What a fool I am. And he's still there. He's still on the pole star enjoying, but he gets darshan. The Lord has his planet up there also, Svetadvip. So he can see the Lord, but he still has to stay within the material world, although he has a spiritual planet within the material world. He was, he's got that exalted, a very exalted position there. Much more than what he actually wanted. So you see, you're never the loser by surrendering to Krishna. This is the story, the moral which runs through it. You're never the loser. We're frightened to say no to give up Maya. We're frightened to surrender our minds to Krishna. Otherwise, why don't we do it? We know what to do. We know what pure unalloyed devotional service means. And we're not pure unalloyed devotees. That means we have our devotion is mixed with karma and jnana. Karma means the desire to enjoy, and jnana means the desire to control. We don't want to give those things up. We don't. When it comes to the crunch, we don't want to do it. That's why we can't actually surrender fully to Krishna. So we're hearing these examples are there. They did it. These are people that did it. Bali stood to lose so much. What do we stand to lose? Peanuts. But he stood to lose, but he didn't. And he took that risk. And he just surrendered his mind. I don't care. This is for Vishnu. I'm going to do it. And he wasn't fazed. He actually surrendered. Great soul. Rare soul. So we should give up that fear that we will be the losers, that we will lose something, that we will give up, we'll lose a position of comfort and a position of enjoyment. It's a fear we have of losing that. The false ego is dictating that. See, this is the last thing that actually goes, because the false ego is the first covering. You are the controller, you are the enjoyer. Very difficult to overcome that. Very difficult. So here we see that he's come from the race of asuras. He did it. He had a lot to give up. He did it. And so he's become successful. He is one of our, now he's become our guru, guru of the Vaishnavas. And he's residing there, enjoying sense gratification, which we would all like, right? We enjoy our senses to maximum. So he's enjoying much better than us. Much better than we can be of. He has no fear. No fear of life. He is no situated, no anxieties, no worry about where to live, and what service to do, what am I going to do when I get old, none of that fear, none of that idea of control. There's a few things of deepness in the control mode. That's all wrong. It's not there anymore. He is enjoying it. But just see how the Krishna works, the spiritual energy works. We desperately try for these things, but when you actually give them up, then you have them easily available. When you don't want them, then they're offered to you. Much more than what you can expect. That's the nature of spiritual life. But we give them up
the idea of having a government. Then they become available in the environment. Come on. That's nature. It works like that. Then you don't really need, which is obviously you've got some better to achieve that platform, you're going to have to advance and you've got already got a higher place. Don't think of me as a loser.
Seemed to test him. He had to give up his Kula Guru or Shukracharya. What was his? What's the story behind Shukracharya? You know, he's a guru, and he knows he's Vishnu. He can see what he's going to do, but he advises him. Is that his test, or what is? Do you know something about Shukracharyas?
Yeah, it's interesting how you can understand the devas having their guru, and you can understand it's a difficult concept to understand the asuras having gurus who are actually Vaishnavas. They recognize the superiority of the Lord. But they worship others also. They're not pure Vaishnavas. They're not that category of purity. And even the gurus of the demigods, they're very interested in maintaining the integrity of the demigods, the position of the demigods. So they instruct them how to hold their position and what activities to perform to prolong their activities, to sustain their activities. So they're also, they're not pure devotees, unalloyed devotees, even though the guru Brihaspati, nothing they don't know. They obviously have, there's still some attachment there, and this is the Lord's Leela. They're not asking everyone to, they're more interested in to surrender to the Lord. To follow his instruction, yes. Because by following his instructions you get the good results, you see. So there's still some fruitive mentality there. So that's why there's 8,400,000 species of life. Or 400,000 different humans. There's so many different categories. It gets finer and finer and finer. Up until the pure devotees. Because the pure devotees' stories are not so interesting. Right? You write the history of the pure devotee. You know, gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning, takes his bath, and goes to the river and does his bhajan, and he eats at the end of the day, it's not so interesting. But kings, you know, battles, nations, galaxies, star wars, that's interesting. Romances, politics, all that stuff, that's the stuff that gets our adrenaline going. So that's what we like, so that's the way we're given it. And then the spiritual aspects stick. So there's every, you know, pure unalloyed devotional service is very, very rarely achieved. Because the pure unalloyed devotees, you know, their next destination is not here. So you're not going to find many on the planet, you see. All those that become pure unalloyed devotees, they go to, you know, where Krishna's having his Bhumi Lila. So there's hardly any here, pure unalloyed. So from those who are like gross materialist humans, up to those who are servants of the Lord, in Dasaras, up to that point, there's all different categories of devotees. Something for everyone. Because pure devotional service is not very attractive for many people. Krishna offers, you can have me or you can have my, or my opulences, what will we take? It's not an easy decision, you see. Because we still have these desires for our own. And in fact, probably most of us here, we're not coming for Krishna's benefit. We're coming for our own benefit. So we want to take something from Krishna, or we want Krishna to take our problems. So that we're not very, it's not a very high, a chaste mentality, actually. But that's, you know, you got to start at square one. This is what we got. This is what you got to work with. You have this gross body, you have this subtle body, you have these desires and everything that goes with it. So you have to work from there. So therefore, there's a whole variety of ways to express your needs and get your needs met in life, what you think are essential, at the same time advance in devotion. So that's why there's so many different categories of, you know, all the way up to, you know, although he knows everything, Asuka, he knows everything, nothing he doesn't know. He knows this is Brahma, this is Vishnu, he's in disguise, this is what he's going to do. he's going to take 2 steps and cover the whole universe, and his 3rd step he's going to push you down to hell. Don't do it. So he said, this is Vishnu, and he's saying all along, Vishnu's the Lord, Vishnu's surrender. He knows all that stuff, but he said, don't do it, don't surrender to him. So Bali was considering, now he's saying one thing, but you know, all the time he's been saying another thing. You know, we should surrender to Krishna, to Vishnu, that's it. Everyone knows that. All the Brahmanas are saying that. Now he's saying, this is Vishnu, don't surrender to him. It didn't fly, you know, so he had to think about it. And then he made that decision at the cost of ignoring his guru. And then you go to hell, you disobey the guru. That's the material laws. So the Lord enacted that. He did go to hell, but it was a heavenly hell. He didn't suffer. So the Lord has very smart. He has to keep everything intact and at the same time execute his mission. He has to keep the Brahmana's word intact. Sukha cursed him, you go to hell. He has to go to hell. But what a hell he went to. A very nice hell. So something for everyone, you see. There's so much variety of species, because everyone has a slightly different mentality, different karmas. Okay. Comment, please. Yes. That's what it says. You better believe it. Maybe temporarily, he threw him in a cave, then he bound him up with the ropes of a runner, and or maybe it's sometimes they mix the kalpas stories together.